Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's up, Buffalo Fanatics? Josh Allen here. Just wanted to say, go Bills.
Yo! What up? Buffalo Fanatics. Z-Bot here with you. Live on the Buffalo Fanatics YouTube channel on a Monday night. And that, of course, can only mean one thing. It is the Smoke Break, powered by BetUS, where the game begins. Click the link in the description below, or you can get a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits up to $2,500. We got a lot going on in the NFL, folks, on the Smoke Break tonight. It feels like when the week resets, we get a whole new set of news, and this week was no different. We got some stuff coming out of Buffalo in regard to the cap situation. We have some quarterback carousel news that really started to heat up within the last hour or so. Maybe a move not everybody had on their radar coming out of Minnesota. We'll talk about that. We also have the retirement of Jason Kelce, who out of nowhere became one of the most famous people in the States. He's hanging up the cleats officially. One of the wide receivers we Bills fans had our eye on but knew we couldn't get too excited about has re-signed with his former team. And we have another receiver within the division that could potentially be looming in the eye of Brandon Bean if he does not accept the contract being offered to him by his current team. A lot of stuff going on within the NFL, folks. We'll break it all down tonight here on the Smoke Break. So good to have you in here on a Monday night. Hope your weekend was fabulous. March is off and running, and that means we are what? We're about a month and a half away from the draft. We are 9 days officially away from the opening of free agency, and things got a little crazy today in regard to the quarterback market. We know for certain one quarterback will no longer be with his AFC team. We'll talk about that tonight because that is a big development. One of the worst trades in recent memory has unfolded out in Colorado. Russell Wilson has been informed today he'll no longer be with the Denver Broncos. And another quarterback who has been low-key, one of the better quarterbacks in the league for some time now, might be packing his bags and moving to another NFC team. It just came out about an hour ago that there are potential indicators signaling to Kirk Cousins leaving Minnesota and becoming the next quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. But we'll start today with the Buffalo Bills, who, as we know, are in one of the worst cap situations in the league. But we went over this the other day, Rico and I did, and I'm sure you've seen by now, there are a variety of different ways that these Buffalo Bills can get into a situation where the cap is not going to be a huge problem for them going into the season. Right now, as it stands, the Buffalo Bills are currently about $41.2 million over the cap. There's some restructuring that can occur for the Bills to get underneath of that, but of course the Bills are going to have to move on from some players in order to get that number where it needs to be. And it was just announced this week that the Bills will be moving on from Nyheim Hines. Now, this is somebody we had our eye on just because it felt like Nyheim Hines, while contributing to the special teams game for the Bills, was not somebody that they were adequately using within the offense. It felt like when they brought him back, there was going to be an emphasis on getting Nyheim Hines involved in this offense, and there just never was. Guys like Ty Johnson end up stepping up. Obviously, James Cook has a terrific year. You bring in Latavius Murray, who has some flashes, and it just felt like Nyheim Hines never had a role on this team. It's announced that the Buffalo Bills, Brandon Bean and company, will be moving off of Nyheim Hines. So we'll go and take a look at what that will do for these Bills. If we go to managing the roster here on Spot Track, it's going to free up about $4.5 million or so for these Bills off the cap. And really, any amount at this point is significant. Any move the Bills feel, is an adequate decision in regard to usage and guys that they're just not going to have room for on the roster. There's no sense in keeping them around. Nyheim Hines is going to be one of those casualties. So we just removed him here on Spot Track. That's going to bring the Bills down to about $38.1 million over the cap. It seems inevitable at some point they're going to have to restructure Josh Allen. Hopefully be able to restructure Stephon Diggs. We'll see how that goes. Got to keep an eye on the Von Miller situation, the Tre'Davious White situation, and a big one as well, the Dawson Knox situation. But there are a variety of ways the Bills can get down beneath that cap threshold and find a way to be in, decent shape. But there's going to be the overall question of, well, who are the Bills going to add, right? What's the additions going to be? We understand what the situation is currently as it stands right now. The guys that they have to work out with, within the team already. Where are the additions going to come from? That is to be, discovered. Only time's going to tell. The way I see it, this is why this draft coming up is one of the more crucial drafts in Brandon Bean's career, because it feels like the next chapter starts this coming year as we see veteran players start to phase out, and we see an era starting to unfold here with these Bills where they're no longer in a situation offensively where you feel completely comfortable with what's on this roster moving forward, especially over the next handful of seasons. The Bills do not currently sit in a situation where they are adequately prepared for the future when it comes to who they have surrounding Josh Allen. And that's why this upcoming draft is so crucial, because they're just not going to have the money to go out and sign big name guys in free agency in order to fill that void. One of those guys that we thought may be up for consideration. Now, when I say maybe, I say that with the heaviest of air quotes, because we were well aware that a guy like Mike Evans was probably not going to be in the cards for the Buffalo Bills. A guy who has been one of the better wide receivers since he's been in the league. I think he'll probably go down as maybe the best wide receiver in Tampa Bay Bucks history. He has been nothing shy of a stud since he has come into this league. And I think he has a 1,000-yard season every single year he has been in the league. It came out last week that he really wanted to stay with the Tampa Bay Bucks. He wants to retire as a Tampa Bay Buck, but he was going to test free agency. That did not last long, because Tampa Bay re-signed Mike Evans today. Mike Evans agrees to a 2-year, $52 million contract to stay in Tampa Bay. More than likely stay with Baker Mayfield. We'll see what the situation unfolds, how the situation there unfolds, rather, with Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay. I would imagine Baker Mayfield stays in Tampa Bay, brings them all the way to the divisional round right after Tom Brady's departure. Had a better year than I think anybody anticipated. Could have easily have won comeback player of the year, in my opinion. I think they end up keeping Baker Mayfield, and I think the Mike Evans retention is a indicator to that. I don't know why you would go out and give Mike Evans $52 million if you don't plan on having a quarterback to throw him the ball this coming season. But the one significant benefit I think of this, it's not the fact that the Bills were never going to get Mike Evans. We've been over this. That was a pie in the sky type conversation. Now, if it had come down to a situation where the Bucs were not willing to pay Mike Evans the type of money he just agreed to, and nobody else was either, and there was some minuscule fraction of a chance that he was going to go to a team like Buffalo that really couldn't afford him, but he'd go anyways just to be able to play with a quarterback like Josh Allen, okay, fine. But outside of that, there wasn't any significant chance of him becoming a Bill. The betting market, however, did have him in the top five. He was at one point in the top five, according to Bet US, as far as a team that he could land at. But that's really not what pleases me. The fact he's not going to the Bills, I mean, that's not pleasing at all. But the fact that he's not going to two of the other teams that were indicated in the graphic from BetUS that I had displayed on the show a couple of shows ago. There was plenty of talk surrounding Mike Evans about where he could potentially land if not in Tampa Bay. And two of those landing spots were two spots you really would, you'd rather have, you know, literally anybody else be up for the conversation. And that was the Miami Dolphins and the Kansas City Chiefs. Trying to pull up the graphic right now to go back and look at what the odds were. Because Mike Evans at one point, his top landing spot, according to the betting markets, was at right around even money almost to go to the Kansas City Chiefs. And we all know that with the way Kansas City has structured their team over the last handful of seasons, they're going to have the resources to go out and do some things that the Buffalo Bills simply cannot. When they move off of Tyreek Hill and they wind up reloading in the draft and it ends up working out and they currently don't have much money being spent on the offensive side of the ball outside of a couple of guys, we know that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be focusing in on the wide receiver department, as are the Buffalo Bills. It just feels as though the Kansas City Chiefs are in a position to do so in a more affluent way than the Buffalo Bills will be able to. And the first thing you think of right now when it comes to these wide receivers hitting free agency is, oh, is Kansas City going to be up for, are they going to be up in the conversation? Because I think that every time you've heard of a wide receiver come up that could potentially be moved on from, Kansas City has been immediately brought up. So I just pulled it up here. I got the graphic. And Kansas City at one point was plus 200 to land Mike Evans. New York Jets were slightly behind at plus 300. So you'll take Kansas City not landing a guy like Mike Evans all day. I love when guys end up staying with their team, especially teams that they've had success with. Obviously, Mike Evans has won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, been there his whole career. And like I said, he's been a cornerstone for that organization since he entered it. I didn't foresee him leaving unless things got to the point where it just financially was not going to make any sense for him to stay. They end up figuring it out. But according to the betting market, they had Kansas City landing Mike Evans at plus 200 if he were to go anywhere other than the Tampa Bay Bucs. So might seem like an insignificant signing when it comes to thinking about the Buffalo Bills end of things on this, but I'd much rather face a Kansas City Chiefs team without a Mike Evans than with. And the New York Jets were up in that conversation as well. They were slightly behind Kansas City in that conversation. He ends up staying a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Fine by me. The Bills were never going to land him. I'd much rather have him stay in the NFC with Tampa Bay than come to a team in the AFC that the Bills are going to be competing with straight up. You know what I mean? So once again, Mike Evans, he'll be a Tampa Bay Buck for what seems like the rest of his career. Shout out to him. I'll tell you this once again, anywhere but KC, that's my motto when it comes to these top names. Now you'd probably argue the top free agent remaining in the wide receiver department would be Calvin Ridley. He's a guy I could see the Bills finding a way to do something on. Whether they do or not is one thing. Obviously, we know how strapped they are, and it's very unlikely that they go and do something like that. Calvin Ridley's easily got to be the biggest name available left, really, in the free agency market for the wide receiver position. But he's a guy that I think's under the radar just enough to where if the Bills really wanted to move things around, it could be done. Mike Evans, to me, just never seemed feasible. I doubt we see Calvin Ridley get the money that Mike Evans just got, but we'll see. It's pretty slim pickings right now at the top for wide receivers in the free agency department, and I would have to imagine Calvin Ridley is right towards the top. So we'll see what happens. Matthew D coming in here with a super chat real quick. He says, I'm making a Lego Buffalo Bills stadium right now. That's killer. Shoot me a picture of it on Twitter when you're done, Matt, and I'll show it on here. I love stuff like that. if it's one of those FOCO ones, right? FOCO, the company there, Forever Collectibles. I think I know what you're talking about. Those things are sweet. Now, I know they make a mini one and a big one. Let me know which one you're doing. Let me know how tough it is. I feel like a lot of those pieces got to be very similar. But good luck to you, Matt. I love doing stuff like that. It's a lot of fun. There's one I haven't pulled the trigger on yet that I really want. It's super expensive, and I know I will not have the time to put it together. That's why I haven't bought it yet. But Marvel makes it's a massive set of the Daily Bugle. I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, and it's massive. I mean, the box is probably 3 feet tall, and it's a full Daily Bugle with, like, all of the Spider-Man characters. So that's, like, my dream Lego set. Not that I've ever really been into Legos, truth be told. I'm more of an action figure guy. I never really got into Legos. But if I ever do end up buying a Lego set, I think that one's going to be it. But I have also had my eye on this Bills one. So, Matt, good luck building it. Let me know how it goes. And if it goes well, maybe I'll end up getting one. All right. So let's talk about the quarterback situation, too, because this is very interesting. Obviously, we know no more position in sports more important than the quarterback. And every time stuff like this happens, when you're in a situation like the Bills are currently in, you can't help but just smile to yourself every time. Now, you always think about the bad things this time of year, right? When you're sitting here in March and the end of the season didn't go the way you wanted it to, and you're left thinking about how the Chiefs won yet another one, you're left thinking about how the Bills blew yet another season, right? It's moments like this where you do sit back and you say, you know what? My God, it could be way worse than losing by the skin of your teeth to the Chiefs in the divisional. And nobody's made me feel like that more recently than the Denver Broncos. Now, they did get the best of these Bills this past season. I'd almost argue that the Denver Broncos deserve a thank you. However, I think if the Broncos don't end up beating the Bills in that Monday night game, I don't know if Ken Dorsey ever gets fired the next day. I don't know if the Bills ever rattle off the win streak that they go on. I sincerely doubt the Bills get the number two seed and become AFC East champions. I mean, ask yourself today, if the Bills don't have too many men on the field against the Denver Broncos on that Monday night football game, do the Bills finish the season the way that they do? I somewhat doubt it. Time, you know, we'll never know. Hindsight's 20/20. But listen, here's the situation at hand in Denver. Nightmare fuel. Nightmare fuel. This is one of the worst moves in recent professional sports history. What is currently unfolding in Denver is an absolute nightmare of epic proportions. It's announced today that after just two seasons, after one of the biggest moves in the NFL in some time, Russell Wilson going, it was one of those where were you type moments. I remember I was at a Planet Fitness, saw it on the TV at a Planet Fitness. Where were you when Russell Wilson got traded, right? And you remember it for a couple of reasons. One, because Russ and the Seahawks were synonymous. He was just one of those quarterbacks that was the face of the franchise, right? When Jimmy Garoppolo gets moved on from, you're not, it's not like, where were you when Jimmy Garoppolo got traded, right? Where were you when, you name it. Where were you when Baker Mayfield went to the Bucs? It's not like that. There's some quarterbacks that are the face of the franchise, and when they move on, it's a significant moment. You remember it because it's hard to imagine what's going on. You know, it's hard to imagine that team without that guy or that guy without that team. To a much bigger extent, I'll never forget where I was when Andrew Luck retired. I'll never forget where I was when Brady became a Buck. Now, I think those are much more holy shit type circumstances, but I was always a huge fan of Russ growing up. Loved what he stood for. Always thought he was a hell of a role model, and I always just thought he was a hell of a player. Now, we'd come to find out that not everything that glitters is gold. The way that things seemed to end in Seattle, what his teammates had to say about him, very odd situation. It went from Russell Wilson, the way I perceived him, he kind of seemed like this can do no wrong type entity. And then you start to hear about the inner workings of the locker room and the amount of guys that thought he was kind of a phony. I don't know. Very intriguing. But nonetheless, he gets shipped off to Denver in one of the more lucrative contracts in the history of the NFL. Denver essentially sells the franchise for him. I mean, no pun intended, no joke intended. They literally, in the same breath, go from getting Russell Wilson. I mean, all around the same time, they get Russell Wilson and the Walmart family buys the Denver Broncos. And they just start signing checks. I mean, within a year's span, you got the Walmart family taking over the Denver Broncos. They give Russell Wilson historic money. And then the following year, after an absolute utter collapse under Nathaniel Hackett, you fire him and you give Sean Payton a blank check to come in and fix everything. A year after that, no, really not even a year after that, because Russ was benched like three quarters of the way into the year here, and now it's officially done. Russell Wilson was informed today that he will be released by the Denver Broncos. He will not be the quarterback of the Denver Broncos this coming season. We just heard the other day, Russell Wilson was on a podcast. He said he would love to stay in Denver. That's where he was signed to go and work, and that's where he wanted to go and make it happen. Well, that's not going to be the case. Now, this is a very interesting, very rare situation because the money that was due to Russell Wilson was guaranteed. So this is according to NFL.com, quote, as a result of parting ways with the highly paid signal caller, Denver will eat $39 million, but avoid a $37 million guaranteed trigger for the 2025 season that would have taken effect this month. Still, the Broncos will take on $85 million in total dead salary cap over the next 2 years by releasing Wilson. Let me just say that again. The Denver Broncos are about to embark on $85 million worth of dead cap over the next two seasons from a guy that didn't even last two full seasons as their quarterback. Next time you get pissed about Josh Allen throwing one off his back foot for an interception, go look at this article. I mean, this is absolute Looney Tunes insanity. This is up there. This is up there with the Deshaun Watson situation in Cleveland. It just doesn't look nearly as bad because Russell Wilson is perceived to be a good guy. And, you know, Deshaun Watson, think about him the way you will. I'll leave the opinions up to your own. That's up to your own volition. But as far as the inner workings of the franchise and trying to make things happen with an overpaid quarterback, this is about as on par as it gets. $85 million in dead cap over the next two seasons. I mean, this is insane. Next year, he won't even be on the team, and he's going to be eating nearly 60 mil. So not this coming season, but the season after, he's going to be eating like $60 million of the Broncos cap situation. So to refresh your memory, this is how I know breaking news in the NFL, it's like, I mean, what's the best way to describe it? It's essentially like, what have you done for me lately? Like today's big news is tomorrow's who the hell cares, right? But we should go back and refresh ourselves as to how big a news this really was when it happened. I mean, the Broncos, they reset their organization to make this move. They had sent five draft picks to the Seahawks, two of which were first rounders. And they signed him to a five-year, $242.6 million contract. I mean, let's really put into perspective here, folks, what the Denver Broncos did. That's why I tell you it was one of those where were you when it happened moments. It's not every night you watch a franchise dish off five picks and $250 million for a guy. Five draft picks, two of which were first rounders, and $8 million shy of $250 million. For Russell Wilson, and he barely makes his way out of year two. I'm telling you, this is what has happened. This is what this league has done. People will not put it this bluntly. I will. This is what guys like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and more importantly, and above anybody, Tom Brady, and I think to some degree, Matt Stafford. They have ruined the ideology of the quarterback within the front office of many of these organizations. It's obvious when it comes to Josh Allen, Mahomes, these young guns, because everyone sees that that's the best in the league. That's winning, and everybody wants that, right? That's why you go back and you almost forget at this point that the San Francisco 49ers traded all the way up to the top five in the draft to draft Trey Lance. You probably forgot Trey Lance was even a quarterback in the NFL. Teams do that because they want the next Mahomes. They want the next Josh Allen. The Packers did the same thing, essentially, with Jordan Love. We all know how that wound up working out in the moment. It looked awful. It essentially ripped the organization. It ripped a piece of paper down the middle, where on one side of the piece of paper was Aaron Rodgers and the other side of the piece of paper was the Green Bay Packers. Now, granted, it sparked two consecutive MVP years for Aaron Rodgers, and Jordan Love looks like if he plays the way he did at the end of the year here, he could be the real deal. So we all know right now it looks like it's going to work out, but we all know at the time that Jordan Love decision looked like it was a wild decision on behalf of Green Bay. And it really was the ultimate reason why things fizzled out with Aaron Rodgers, right? But look at what is happening now. You have all these situations in the draft where these teams will continuously try to do this, right? Obviously, the Arizona Cardinals, right? You draft Josh Rosen. We know instantly this isn't going to work. We are going to immediately draft a quarterback in the first overall the next season, right? But what gets lost, I think, in these situations is what the effect that Tom Brady had on the league right before he left. And to a lesser extent, but ultimately the same outcome, I guess, what Matthew Stafford had on this league as well. Here's what Tom Brady did, essentially, right before he hung it up. He leaves the greatest dynasty of all time. He goes and assembles essentially a super squad of aging players, in addition to a pretty solid core that was already in Tampa Bay. And he goes and wins a Super Bowl with a team that had been a mediocre franchise for the last 20 years. And then he leaves. There are so many teams that looked at that and said, we're just a quarterback away. We're just a veteran signing away. If they could do that with an aging Tom Brady, so can we. And we all saw what the LA Rams did. Remember, F them picks. That was the motto in Los Angeles. F them picks. It worked out. They went, they got rid of Jared Goff. They brought in Matt Stafford. They wound up winning a Super Bowl. And to many surprise, they wound up being a pretty damn good team this past year. They went from being the worst team ever, according to the numbers, the worst team in NFL history following a Super Bowl victory, to being a team last year that I think towards the end of it, no one wanted to see. But that's the laundry list, folks. It's not as easy as go grab the guy and let's have it work. But we're seeing teams constantly try. And now it's getting to the point where you're watching teams take the approach that the Rams did to some extent, and it's burning out bright. If it doesn't work out, if you don't have a championship to show for it, if you don't have even like a medium amount of success to show for it, it's nightmare fuel. And look at the examples we have just over the last couple of seasons. Look at what the New York Jets went out and did to get Aaron Rodgers, just to have him last four snaps. And we have no idea what's going to happen this coming year. They essentially handed him the keys to the entire franchise. It's utter disarray. You got McCole Hardman saying that it's just a complete mess essentially over in New York.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Mark, there's no stability on offense. Nathaniel Hackett somehow still has a job as the offensive coordinator. We all know the reason why. The Zach Wilson situation in itself, on top of that, you never quite felt like Robert Saleh had any real grasp on that team at all, because all of the power seemingly fell in the hands of Aaron Rodgers, who was nowhere to be found. He was injured. Gave up everything to go and get Aaron Rodgers at last four snaps. And we have no idea what the future is going to hold with an aging Aaron Rodgers off of a major season-ending injury. So there's one example. Brought it up a couple of minutes ago. Cleveland Browns. They're lucky their defense has been as good as it's been. They go out and give Deshaun Watson nearly $250 million guaranteed off of one of the more infamous legal battles that a player has had in a very long time. A guy who hadn't played quarterback in almost 2 years, left the Houston Texans at the altar, ends up going through this whole fiasco in the legal situation, ends up not playing football for what felt like forever, immediately gets injured, and the Cleveland Browns are on the hook for all of that. For God's sakes, Joe Flacco had to come in and play quarterback last year for the Cleveland Browns. Got a comeback player of the year out of it. I mean, they're lucky that things ended up going as well as they did, even though it resulted in a wild card exit. I mean, if you don't have one of the best defenses in the league, and if Joe Flacco doesn't come in and somewhat help you out a bit, utter mess. And I think that this Russell Wilson situation falls right in line with all these other examples. You looked around and you said, we're a guy away. We either make the move or we don't. But if we make the move, we got to go all in. And nothing says all in like 5 draft picks, 2 first round picks, and nearly $250,000 on a 5-year contract. For that to last 2 seasons, to take the amount, I mean, this dead cap money is, it's almost like it's out of an SNL bit. $85 million is absolutely insanity. But here's where it gets interesting, right? The Denver Broncos, I mean, they're screwed.
there's no way you can look me in the face and tell me that they're not completely screwed. Being on the hook for this amount of money without a quarterback, not to mention they weren't very good to begin with last year. They're going to have to completely rebuild. Sean Payton's got his work cut out for him. I don't know. They're in a really tough spot. Certainly not one that I would wish on my worst enemy. I couldn't imagine the Bills being in that situation. But here's where things get interesting. Since Denver is on the hook for all of this money, that means wherever Russell Wilson goes next, they barely have to pay him a dime. Ian Rappaport said earlier on NFL Network that the next team that Russell Wilson signs with will have to pay him for the 2024 season roughly $1 million. Roughly $1 million for Russell Wilson to play on a new team this coming season. So Denver's going to eat essentially all of that money, right? And then whoever winds up going and getting Russell Wilson, they got to pay him next to nothing because the Denver Broncos are eating the bill. So now it makes you wonder, okay, well, what's that team going to be? Who's that team going to be? I'll tell you this, if the Bills were in a situation where they desperately needed a quarterback, this is when you want to make a move like this. When you don't want to make a move like this is when you do exactly what the Broncos did in the first place. You don't want to go and give $250 million in 5 draft picks for anybody. But if you can give a guy $1 million on a loaner, I don't see why not. Now, one of the teams that makes sense to me, probably the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think that's probably one you've heard. Pittsburgh is one of those teams that they always feel like they're a quarterback away. Ever since Roethlisberger retired, and even in his latter days, Roethlisberger definitely fizzled out towards the end. But as we know, never had a losing season under Mike Tomlin, and we know why. They've just always been a good team, especially that defense. Always keeps them in it. And doesn't it feel like if the Pittsburgh Steelers had a competent quarterback, they would at least be better than they were last year? And what they were last year somehow was a playoff team. Now, I know the Bills let them have it in the wild card, but you can't tell me that they're not a better team today if they end up with Russell Wilson at quarterback. So that's a team I'd keep an eye on. Now, it's also going to depend on what teams do in the draft as well, who they end up drafting or not drafting. That's going to be a key indicator maybe as to where we can expect Russell Wilson to go. Obviously, you think about teams that currently you would expect to draft a quarterback, but maybe if they wind up going the veteran route, trading around current assets and then kind of putting the long-term quarterback solution on the back burner, we should see. I mean, we shall see. I don't know. I would imagine it's going to be more of a team that's kind of already lined up a bit. Like, as we know right now, the Las Vegas Raiders don't have anybody. And they're not picking high enough to get one of these top quarterbacks, right? So maybe the Raiders are a team, right? Two other teams that I see being talked about, well, that's interesting, because the reason they're being talked about is because of another potential quarterback move. Not only was it announced today that Russell Wilson will be informed by the Denver Broncos, or has been informed by the Denver Broncos, rather, that he will be moved off from this offseason. But it came out roughly around 7:30, courtesy of Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, that, quote, indications are building of potential Kirk Cousins move to Atlanta. Now, that's awfully interesting because we know Kirk Cousins had a pretty damn good year 2 years ago. Has been a pretty damn good quarterback really throughout the longevity of his career. He just doesn't have that sex appeal, right? He doesn't have that marketability. It didn't seem like everybody truly loved Kirk Cousins until he was on the Netflix documentary and everybody realized how just nice of a guy he was, and everybody just started loving Kirk Cousins. But the reality of the situation is Kirk Cousins' numbers as a quarterback ain't bad at all. Kirk Cousins has been one of the better quarterbacks in this league for a while. He just has that aura around him that he can't win the big game. He can't win primetime games. We know all about this, that, and the other thing. But when it comes down to the numbers, Kirk Cousins has been more than solid. And he is set to hit free agency. And, of course, as we know, last year, the Vikings start off really slow. They start getting back into shape. Looks like they're going to be a contender again. And Kirk Cousins winds up suffering a season-ending injury. So he doesn't get to play out his final games with the Vikings. And now here comes free agency. Now we've heard Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Vikings. We've heard him say in interviews that they want to keep Kirk Cousins. But this just came out from Mike Florio about an hour or so ago, that there are indications that he could potentially be moving, Kirk Cousins, that is, to the Atlanta Falcons. Florio says, quote, "We can't get into the specifics for now, but we're getting very credible indications that Cousins is seriously considering moving his family to Atlanta, which would mean, obviously, that he'd be signing with the Falcons. The Falcons have always been the top alternative to the Vikings for Cousins, who becomes an unrestricted free agent next Wednesday." Yeah. Apparently, according to Mike, his wife grew up there and her parents still live there. The Vikings, as I said, they have expressed that they want to keep Kirk Cousins, but it's seeming as though they might not want to match the amount of money he could get elsewhere, and maybe he could get more in Atlanta. And if he's already got incentive to go there, if his wife's family already lives there, then maybe it's not that tough of a decision for him to end up moving to Atlanta. So now you open up two spots right there, going back to Russell Wilson, right? If Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, okay, well, then obviously we know Minnesota's going to be in need of a guy. Maybe they take Russell Wilson on for $1 million this coming season. If Kirk Cousins doesn't go to Atlanta, well, we know Atlanta needs a guy. Maybe Kirk Cousins stays in Minnesota and Russell Wilson goes to Atlanta. To me, that pretty much comes down to about four teams for Russell Wilson to me. The Raiders, the Steelers, and then depending on what happens here with Kirk Cousins, either Atlanta or Minnesota. I'll tell you this. If Kirk, whoever goes to Atlanta, that to me is the spot. The NFC South is a dumpster fire. The NFC South is the worst division in the league. And Atlanta's got some talent, man. Atlanta's got some young talent. Plus, you're going to be starting off with a brand new head coach. Atlanta would be the spot I'd want to be in, right? You got a dome. You're going to be getting a fresh new slate with a brand new head coach. You got probably the weakest division in football. And you got some young studs on that team. That would be my choice. So it makes sense that maybe Kirk Cousins would want to go there. But if he doesn't go there, that would be where I'd want to go if I was a quarterback with a, you know, a situation where I'm not currently signed up. So keep an eye on that. We'll see if that ends up developing into a actual story this week. Kirk Cousins moving on from Minnesota and going to Atlanta. But if it winds up, you know, him not being the guy that ends up going to Atlanta, Russell Wilson's got to go somewhere. Right? Russell Wilson's got to wind up somewhere, and someone's going to have to take this Atlanta job. And I think that's the spot, man. I think that's the spot. I think you have an instant chance to win if you go to Atlanta. So we shall see what ends up happening there. I'm taking a look here. I wanted to share this with you last week when I was on with Rico, but I couldn't find it. I finally was able to find it. This is an interesting topic. I haven't been seeing a lot of buzz about this, but this to me is awfully interesting. I wanted to share something with you, courtesy of my friends over at BetUS. So right now on BetUS, you can bet on a bunch of the free agents as to where their landing spot's going to be, which is cool. You can bet on like where Derrick Henry's going to end up going. Right now, he's favored to go to the Ravens, which is interesting. Doesn't blow my mind. They need somebody to be able to run the ball, apparently. They didn't want to run the ball at all against the Chiefs, so maybe Derrick Henry could be next in line to do that for the Ravens, I suppose. But one of the interesting lines that they currently have right now on BetUS that I thought is really interesting, as we know, the Washington Commanders are now going to be under new ownership for the first time in forever. They finally were able to get Daniel Snyder to sell the team. It's under new ownership, and you got to feel like they're going to want a completely fresh slate at some point here. And right now on BetUS, you can bet on what the next name of the Washington franchise will be. So we know before, we know in the interim between Redskins and Commanders, it was the Washington football team, which I always loved. I thought that was pretty slick. I just thought it was like really basic, and it was almost so basic that it was cool, the Washington football team. So that's an option. But here's all these other options, and some of these I've never heard of in my life. The Washington Armada. I mean, is that a hotel? Isn't the Armada a hotel? I'm looking at all these, and I'm trying to think of which one I like the best. Here's a few of the I love how, by the way, the Redskins is one of the options again. Imagine doing all that they did to eradicate that name just to go back to that name. I don't see that. So here are some of the options on here, courtesy of BetUS. Washington Football Club, Washington Spartans, Washington Magic, Washington Red Hogs, Washington Armada, Washington Presidents, Senators, Sentinels, DCs, the Washington Diet Cokes, Washington Ambassadors, Defenders, Brigade, Red Tails, Wolves, Owls. Owls would be horrific. Washington Owls, Washington Crimson, Red Pigs, Monuments, and then going back to the Skins again. I don't know. I don't love Commanders. Ant-Man saying Washington Minutemen. I kind of like that. I kind of like Minutemen. Maybe BetUS should add Minutemen. I like that. I don't know what a lot of these, like, why would they be Magic? Because Magic Johnson's got a partial ownership. I don't know. I mean, some of these are cool, though. The Senators would be cool if there wasn't already a Senators in the NHL. You know what I mean? Like, that would be cool. But I always find it interesting when there's a change in a name or anything, because that's a big deal. And the Washington Monuments would be hilarious. And here come the Washington Monuments. Because that's already a saying, essentially. Oh, you're going to go see the Monuments? Yeah, we went and saw them yesterday. What do you mean? They don't play till Monday night. I mean, that would be hilarious. If I had to put my money on any of these right now, not just based on the one I think would be more likely, but the one I like the most, I got to tell you, I kind of like Monuments at plus 3,000. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think that's interesting, though. New name for the Commanders could be around the way. I think that's interesting. But anyway, you can go and bet on which one you like the most, by the way. Link in the description below for BetUS. You get a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits up to $2,500. And maybe you can go lay some coin on the Washington Commanders becoming the Washington Red Pigs. Who knows? That could be in the cards. I'll get a couple more of what you guys are saying in just a second. Quick word from BetUS. I'm seeing some good names here in the comments, though, that we could consider outside of this other list. But quick word from BetUS, and then we'll take a look at those.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
I got to tell you, I really like that Washington Minutemen coming from Ant-Man. That might be my favorite one. Dave saying the crooked senators. Now we could go with a little shot at the politicians, perhaps. J-Dub saying he likes the Washington Red Wolves. I could see that. The Wolves are an option on BetUS there, as you can see here, the Wolves. But Red Wolves would be kind of cool. Yeah, because Wolves are a little basic. Wolves a little basic, but I like the Red Wolves. I could go with that. And then J-Dub saying there's an indigenous group suing them to change it back to the Redskins to honor Cheat White Calf, who was pictured on their former helmet. I had read something about some lawsuit about them wanting to go back to the original name. I don't know. I don't know what the hell happened there. You know, I have no idea. But you got to imagine that they're finally out from underneath the grip of Dan Snyder, who many believe to be the worst owner in the history of the NFL. They might just want to wipe the entire slate clean there and get rid of the Commanders was kind of a name. It felt like they just grabbed out of nowhere and just threw it on there. I think they should have just stuck with the football team. I thought it was kind of neat, right? It was like so basic that it was almost like not basic. If that makes any sense. I wonder when they're going to do that, if ever, though. I'm also hearing a report that there's some teams that are going to be getting new uniforms this coming year as well. I keep looking out for that, too. Apparently, one of them might be the New York Jets who are going to be getting some new uniforms. We'll see. There should be a couple of teams this coming season who end up getting new uniforms. The Jets should get new uniforms. Theirs are atrocious. I can't stand the Jets uniforms. They're terrible. With that fly-by-night font, like, it's just not good. It's just not good. And I think that they've already had theirs for, like, 5 years, so they could be getting some new unis. Speaking of the AFC East, one quick thing that I read earlier, one quick thing before we hang up the cleats for tonight. The New England Patriots, we know that they're very slim when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. There's not much to write home about, but one of the players that probably has been one of the bigger names for them offensively has been their wide receiver, Kendrick Bourne. Now, the New England Patriots have re-offered him a contract. He is set to become a free agent. It just came out earlier today that the New England Patriots are going to make an offer to Kendrick Bourne. But Sports Illustrated reported about 5-6 hours ago that if Kendrick Bourne does not end up taking that contract from the New England Patriots, the Buffalo Bills could have their eyes on wide receiver Kendrick Bourne from the Buffalo Bills or from the New England Patriots. See, it's names like this that click. Like the Mike Evans situation, it's just too big of a name. It's too much money. The Bills don't have the resources right now to go and do something like that. But a guy like Kendrick Bourne, where it's not going to be an immediate game changer, an immediate team changer, I think, but it still could be somewhat of a beneficial addition. This is where my mind kind of gets drawn to when I come to think about players that Brandon Bean could bring in, you know, to help benefit this offense to some degree. You know, Chris is asking, why would you want to bring in Kendrick Bourne? I mean, the way it is right now set up offensively, I'm willing to bring in anybody that we can just give cracks at to allow this offense, this current wide receiver locker room, to just have different options, see what works, what doesn't. Now, I'm not saying you bring in Kendrick Bourne for, you're not breaking the bank for Kendrick Bourne. But if New England's got a contract out there for him that he doesn't want to take, he doesn't want to re-sign with Kendrick, or he doesn't want to re-sign with Kendrick. He doesn't want to re-sign with New England. He's willing to see what's out there. It's just something I wouldn't mind looking into is all. I mean, as it stands right now, with Gabe Davis walking out the door, and let's just pretend we don't know what happens in the draft right now. We don't know what's going to happen. What the Bills are trotting out on offense this coming year from a weaponry standpoint, it's something that we have got to be somewhat concerned about. So I'm willing to just kind of throw some lottery tickets at different situations. Like you said, he's not healthy. And I understand that. You're not looking currently right now, I think, when you go out into the free agency market, you're not going to get the best of both worlds. I just think it's not going to happen. If you can go out and get a guy like Kendrick Bourne and just get, you know, enough out of him to where the money justifies the means, that's what I'm looking at. I just think the way it's set up right now, you got to be willing to just take cracks wherever you can. Now, I don't know how likely this is. To me, I would imagine he ends up signing back with New England. I always feel like if you end up getting a decent contract offer from the team that you're with, why not? I don't know. But this is a area that, from what I'm reading here, over a year ago, Kendrick Bourne was a player that the Bills had their eye on. This is somebody before the start of last year the Bills had looked into. From this Sports Illustrated article, there's a quote from a source that says, according to one source familiar with the wide receiver market, if the Pats do not re-sign Bourne, history indicates they might lose him to a division foe. This is from Andrew Callahan. Quote, the Jets were among the teams that showed interest in Bourne over the last 18 months prior to signing with the Patriots as a free agent in 2021. Bourne also received interest from the Bills and Texans as well. So you also have the Jets in the mix there too. But like I said earlier, this wide receiver market currently for the free agency list, it's nothing to write home about. I'm just looking at names that pop up that could be potential gap fillers here or there, right? Make something out of nothing. What it all comes down to me is the draft. The Bills, to me, in the top three picks, you almost have to throw two lottery tickets at the wide receiver position in the first four rounds. To me, that's the way I see it. Because at the top of the list here, I just don't think you're not going to be able to make moves on guys like Michael Pittman. And when you look at what the situation currently entails for these Bills with Gabe Davis more than likely out the door, I don't know how you're going to be able to walk into next season banking on the fact that Khalil Shakir is your solidified wide receiver too. Now, he could have the potential to come into form and be that. We saw him have a great end of the year last year, and I would love nothing more. But that's why, to me, this draft is just so crucial from an offensive standpoint. Because this is the year, it feels like, where you really start hammering home on the future of this Buffalo Bills offense. And if you can get guys that come in and are effective right away and also are pivotal parts of that future, and you also get another leap from Dalton Kincaid and James Cook and Khalil Shakir, then you're in much better shape than it might seem, right? If you do get a big year two leap from Shakir and Kincaid, and you get another 1,000-plus year from James Cook, and he gets even more implemented into the pass game under Joe Brady, sky's the limit. So we shall see. But the more that they continue to just try and add, like, you know, who was saying here, like Chris was saying, like, I'm not a big fan of Kendrick Bourne. I mean, neither am I. You're not going to hear me pounding the table over a move like that. But right now, the way it's looking, I just need the Bills to start throwing lottery tickets at this offense and saying, hey, we're scratching them off. We hope we hit a winner here. We hit a winner there, and we can fill this void until we get guys drafted in place to build around Josh Allen. And as the, you know, as the time progresses, as we move forward, they become the cornerstone pieces. But it's going to take time. And obviously, of course, it starts in this upcoming draft, which we'll talk a lot about over the next couple of months. It's already March, folks. The draft is just about a month and a half, right? A little over a month and a half away. And we'll have plenty to talk about in the interim period. But tonight was an interesting one because we find out Russell Wilson no longer going to be a Bronco. And potentially Kirk Cousins no longer going to be a Minnesota Viking. It's just the tip of the iceberg. We're about 9-ish days away from free agency, and we'll have plenty to talk about over the next couple of weeks. So I'm looking forward to it. But, hey, thanks so much for tuning in tonight. As always, on your way out, hit that like button, subscribe, and, of course, the bell icon. And do me a favor and go check out BetUS as well and take a look at those upcoming potential names for the Washington Commanders. You get 125% sign-up bonus up to $2,500 on your first three deposits through that link in the description below with the promo code JOIN125. All right, folks, I'll see you on the next one. Much love and appreciate you tuning in tonight. Tofu says goodbye. I say goodbye. And I also say, go Bills.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.